Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Piramal Enterprises Limited Q1 FY25 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Singh from Piramal Enterprises Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thanks, Nirav, and hello everyone. Welcome to our earnings conference call for Q1 FY25. Our results material has been uploaded on our website, and you may like to refer to them during our discussion. The discussion today may include some forward-looking statements based on management's expectations that are subject to uncertainty and changes, and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our businesses face. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Anand Piramal, Executive Director, Piramal Group, Mr. Rupen Jhaveri, Group President, Piramal Enterprises, Mr. Jairam Sridharan, CEO of Retail Lending and MD of PCHFL, Mr. Yesh Nadkarni, CEO of Wholesale Lending, and Ms. Upma Goyal, CFO, Piramal Enterprises. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Piramal for his remarks on the Q1 performance. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Piramal.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome on this call to discuss our Q1 FY25 results. Before we go into details, a summary of the overall direction of trends in Q1 FY25. Our growth business, which comprises retail and wholesale 2.0, has sustained momentum. It now contributes towards the bulk of our overall AUM and net profit. And our Part B, our legacy discontinued business in wholesale, further ran down during the quarter without any incremental net credit loss. In Q1 FY25, the company has reported a net profit of 181 crores versus 137 crores in Q4 FY24. Our total AUM grew by 10% year-on-year to 70,576 crores. Within this, growth AUM grew by 51% year-on-year to 57,601 crores. It now accounts for 82% of our total AUM versus 34% at end FY22. Within the growth business, the retail AUM grew by 43% year-on-year and now stands at 50,530 crores. Wholesale AUM 2.0 is up 132% YOY to 7,071 crores. Now, some comments on the operational performance of the growth business. In Q1 FY25, the growth business reported an NII growth of 34% year-on-year, led by 51% year-on-year AUM growth. There's been an increase in the cost of funds on expected lines. This was on account of the movement in market rates and an increase in leverage. The NIM for growth business was at 6.7% in Q1 FY25. OPEX ratios are a key driver of profitability improvement in the growth business. It was encouraging to see OPEX to AUM declining by 104 basis points year-on-year to 4.6% in Q1 FY25. Operating profit thus grew by 48% year-on-year to 375 crores. Asset quality was strong, with retail 90-day delinquencies staying contained at 0.6% and no delinquencies in wholesale 2.0. Q1 FY25, gross credit costs, excluding recoveries, was at 1.6% versus 0.8% in Q1 FY24. Please note that the credit cost in Q1 FY24 benefited from a one-time write-back of 1.3% due to the change in the ECL policy. Thus, like-for-like, gross credit cost is 1.6% in Q1 FY24 versus 22.1% in Q1 FY24. 1.6 in 25 versus 2.1% in 24 in the same quarter. Growth business PBT stood at 205 crores versus 233 crores in FY24. This represents a PBT ROA of 1.5% in Q1 FY25. In Q1 FY25, our legacy discontinued AUM declined by 1,597 crores to 12,975 crores. The book is down 50% year-on-year and down 70% since the end of FY22. These AUM are now 18% of the total AUM. We continue our efforts to run them down to below 10% by end of FY25. The merger between PL and PCHFL is progressing on track. Following the board approval, the scheme has been filed with the stock exchanges. After the receipt of approvals from exchanges, SEBI and RBI, the NCLT process would then commence. On diversification of borrowings, securitization is now 12% of overall borrowings versus 3% at the end of Q1 24. Following the $100 million social impact loan in May, in July, we raised $300 million through our maiden U.S. dollar-denominated sustainability bond. The issue received a 4X, oversubscribed by four times. By capital base, Piramal is among the top four private sector and diversified NBFCs. Our retail business just crossed 50,000 crores in AUM, making us one of the largest NBFCs in the country and among the market leaders in affordable housing finance. Our strategy has been to build a lending franchise which is well diversified, dominates the chosen segments while serving budget customers in Bharat markets, and leads the industry in the use of digital technologies. With these comments, I now hand over to Jairam, Yash and Upma to discuss some of the business highlights. Thank you.
Thank you, Anand. Ladies and gentlemen, jumping into a discussion on retail lending. In the first quarter, AUM in the retail business grew by 43% year-on-year. First quarter disbursements stood at 6,816 crores, growing by 19% year-on-year. Our flagship mortgage business, comprising housing loans and loan against property, grew 37% year-on-year to 34,104 crores, and it contributes 67% to the retail AUM. As you are aware, there have been some regulatory changes in this space, and those during the course of the first quarter, those changes resulted in a temporary impact of about 255 crores in mortgage disbursements in our first quarter. The mortgage book continues to experience very strong asset quality and has low 90 DPD ratios of 30 basis points. This quarter, we have shared some more granular information on the composition of our retail portfolio, along with product and risk information. You will see these reflected in slides number 11, 15, and 16 in our investor presentation. Growth was strong in all retail products, with AUM in used car loans up 150% year-on-year, in salaried personal loans up 195% year-on-year, and business loans up 62% year-on-year. In one area, we have seen some shift in the way the market has behaved, and correspondingly our own market positioning has changed, and that is in digital loans. Over the last 5 quarters, we have been driven by a view of all sorts of emerging risk signals in the digital loan segment. As early as November 2022, we spoke about emerging risks in this area and the need for us to calibrate our growth in that space. We started reducing our disbursement growth there at that time. If you look at slide 11, you will find that over the last 5 quarters, disbursements in digital lending are down by over 50%. Digital loans AUM is currently 3,500 crores and it represents 7% of retail AUM or 5% of total AUM. As we have been able to slow down this part of the business well in time, we have seen our risk performance over the period being relatively benign, as you will see in some of the risk charts in the presentation. If you look at slide 13, we have shared a new disclosure this time on our emerging cross-sell franchise. You will notice here that we have been able to stamp a sizable proportion of our customer base for future cross-sell. Current levels of cross-sell for us are still relatively modest at 7% of disbursements in this quarter. However, you should expect to see this improve steadily in the quarters to come. On the asset quality front, retail has shown robust performance, with overall 90 plus days past due contained at 60 basis points versus the 80 basis points same time last year and the 50 basis points in the fourth quarter of the previous financial year. In addition to scaling and managing risk, we are equally focused on driving profitability improvements. Over the last several quarters, we have seen a consistent decline in the retail business's OPEX to AUM. At the end of the first quarter, OPEX to AUM stood at 4.9% versus 7.3% in the last quarter and 5.3% in the last quarter and 6.5% at the end of March 2023. We expect OPEX to AUM to keep moderating over the medium term and reiterate our goal of 3.5% to 4% in the medium term. With that, I will hand over to Yash to walk us through our wholesale lending business.
Thanks, Jairam, and good afternoon, everyone. In wholesale lending, in the 2.0 part of our business, we are building a granular, high-quality and profitable portfolio. Our 2.0 AUM grew 11% QOQ to 7,071 crore across real estate and corporate mid-market strategies. We disbursed rupees 1,572 crore in the first quarter. Our total repayments during the period stood at about 846 crore. Our wholesale 2.0 loans are performing well, are in line with or ahead of our underwriting, as reflected in the prepayment track record of the portfolio. There has not been a single delay, a day of delay in wholesale 2.0 portfolio since the inception of the business in 2022. The average ticket size in this book stands at about 74 crore across real estate and CMML parts. We will further build this book in a calibrated manner while capitalizing on the market opportunity. A discontinued legacy wholesale AUM was down 50% year-on-year to 12,975 crore. Our focus is to bring the legacy AUM to below 10% of total AUM in FY25 and make it further insignificant in FY26. With that, I hand over to Upmar to cover the financial performance.
Thank you. Thank you, Yash. Moving to our financial performance, in Q1 FY25, we reported consolidated PAT of 181 crores versus 137 crores in Q4 of FY24. Due to assessed carry forward losses, the tax rate at Piramal Capital and Housing Finance Limited was nil. At Piramal Enterprises level, we have accrued applicable tax rate. At the consolidated level, our tax rate comes out to be 27.6%. Our GNP and NNP ratios were 2.7% and 1.1% respectively. Our net worth stood at 26,863 crores with capital adequacy at 24.4% on consolidated balance sheet. In Q1 FY25, our cost of borrowings was flat quarter on quarter at 8.9%. We continue to focus on diversifying our borrowing mix, including securitization and international borrowings. Our fixed to floating rate debt mix improved to 52-48 and will continue to see further improvements over coming quarters. Our ALM is well matched with positive gaps across all buckets. With these comments, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So firstly, on the provisioning part, both on wholesale as well as retail. So in retail stage 2, we have now created the coverage of almost like 12% compared to that of 3%. So what is actually driving that? And secondly, in terms of the wholesale, we have indicated that we utilize the management overlay of 260 crores. But besides that, when we look at it in terms of the overall decline in the provisioning, is it purely because of the rundown in the overall wholesale AUM of say 11% on a quarter on quarter basis?
Yeah, so thanks Kunal for your question. See, the on retail, this is the what you notice, the stage 2 increase in stage 2 provision coverage. It's a call that we have taken as part of our annual ECL ECL regrounding exercise. Every year in the first quarter we reground the ECL. You know, this year as we updated all the data for the industry and our internal data, it was clear that you know, 1 year PD numbers were all coming down. We made the choice to actually increase provisioning levels in stage 2 because otherwise the jump of provisioning from stage 1 to stage 3 was quite high. So we thought it was a right conservative thing to do to actually strengthen the balance sheet for the future by improving coverage in stage 2. So in as part of the regrounding exercise of ECL, we incorporated that, and that's what you see reflected. You're absolutely right. Our provision coverage there used to be little over 3.25%. We increased that to about 12% at the full portfolio level, differentiated by product. That's what that's the result of this ECL regrounding thing. On wholesale, yes, you're right. There's a usage of a couple of provision pools that were available. There is also a write-off on the book, which reduces provisions as well, because once you technically write off an account, the provisions against it also disappears, right? Which you see reflected as well. So they are both reflected in that number that you mentioned.
Okay, so write-off would be closer to like 250-300 crores.
Yes, correct. 260 crores.
260 crores. Okay, got that. And second question was on the yield side. So we are seeing the increase in the disbursement yields across the product segments, be it housing, MFI as well. Is there the rate increase which has happened, or this is purely the shift within the portfolio? And similarly, when we look at it on the wholesale side, there is a decline on the stage 1, stage 2 pool, which we are seeing. So is it like the rundown which has happened that was on a much higher yielding portfolio? That's the reason we are seeing this kind of a decline in the wholesale yields as well?
I'll come to your wholesale two question in a minute. In wholesale two, I don't think we've seen any meaningful decline in wholesale one. In wholesale one, it's just a mixed thing, man. In the wholesale one, if the only part of the business where you get actual yields are stage one and stage two loans, right, which is now reduced to 50% of the entire wholesale one book, right? So if you see paybacks from stage one, you will see average yields come down of the wholesale two book. That's what we saw this this quarter. We had a good steady quarter in terms of paybacks from our stage one and stage two loans in the legacy book. So that's what is reflected in the yield number. If you look at our page number 23, you will see in the top right box that we show that the stage one and stage two loans are at an average yield of 10.25%.
I was just referring to that. It was like more than 11 in the last quarter. So what is actually leading to this?
Yeah, that's just a mixed thing between the various accounts within there.
Yeah, just the organic recovery, right?
So there is nothing. There's nothing specifically that has happened there. Of course, we're not booking any new business there. And if anything, RPLRs are all going up, not down. So so it's just differentially who pays down during the course of the quarter. If a higher priced account pays down, which is kind of what happened in Q1, so the average yields come down a little bit. So that's what you're seeing here. Nothing more than that. Yeah. On retail, there have been both the things that you mentioned. The mix, the mix has shifted within the secured lending. See, overall, secured versus not, the secured parts of the business have actually done more share wise in Q1 compared to Q4. So to that extent, yields should have come down. However, within secured, we have been able to move a little bit more towards higher yielding businesses. So that has actually helped. But we have also increased pricing starting April 1 on most of our secured product lines. So that is also reflected in the disbursement yields that you mentioned, and why you see, for example, housing disbursement yields at 11.5% when you saw them a good 30 basis points lower in the previous quarter. So that's all internal mix shift between various product variants in the business. I will also note, this is not a Q1 thing, but in Q2, from a Q2 perspective, I will note that starting August 1, we have increased our RPLR by 25 basis points. So that is another indication to you of where yields are headed, given what we are seeing in the cost of borrowing environment.
Okay, and this will be on the entire portfolio?
All the variable rate part of the portfolio, yes.
Yeah, okay, got it. Thanks. Thanks a lot and all the best, yeah.
Thank you, Kunal.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First I wanted a clarification on this one particular slide where you've given the retail customer mix between different geographies and like the metro adjacent tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. There's a big change versus the last year's PPT. Is this just for the customers that you've acquired in 24 or is it for the entire portfolio?
No, this is just for the customers in the last year.
Okay.
Historically, we have shown the full portfolio, but we wanted to give you a more recent mix of what we are booking right now. And that's what we have given here is basically a last year's bookings. And based on that, we have created these charts.
Correct. So incrementally, you are focusing more on the non-metro geographies is what this data point really points towards, right?
Yes.
In the retail segment, across the product segment.
That is correct. In places like Mumbai and Delhi NCR, DHFL had a very strong presence.
However,
we are not as focused on these big markets. So you will see a lower footprint for us in those markets compared to the old DHFL portfolio.
Got it. So this is your purely customers acquired by you in the past 1 year where you have greater focus in tier 1 to 3. Got it.
Correct. And
maybe I joined late, but did you share on the management overlay that you've utilized this quarter to 60 crores odd? Towards which segments and have you given some color about that?
Yeah, that's in our old wholesale legacy business. That's
okay, so it's towards the old wholesale legacy business. The entirety of it, right?
Yes, entirety.
Okay, sure. Those are my two questions. I'll come get back in the queue.
Thank you, Shivan.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Agarwal from 91 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Gaurav, we are not able to hear you.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible now?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Hi, everyone. Sir, just looking at a few numbers from the last presentation to this presentation. So, talking about the legacy book first. So, I think we were carrying around 2,500 crore of provisions last year, last quarter, I mean, and now it stands at 2,012. So, if I look at the difference, it is 500 crore and the rundown that we have seen is around 1,600 CR. So, does it mean that there is a 30% kind of an LGD for the rundown that happened in this quarter?
You can do that math, like it's not, it's okay, you can do that math, yeah.
Okay, great. And sir, now coming to the remaining part, which is 13,000 odd crore, which is left. And if I assume the similar kind of an LGD of 30%, we need to, you know, provide for around 4,000 crore of provisions. Now, against that, we are already carrying 2,000 crore of provisions, 1,700 crore of AIF gain that we expect to get in the next 2 years, including this one. And then there are some Shriram stake sale, which would help us to realize around 2,300 crore odd. So is the math correct? Am I getting all of these things right? Or is there any divergence in your understanding?
Your math is very correct. You have said everything that we would like to say. Thank you very much. Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah. Now, so coming to the AIF gains that we expect to get, are we on track to achieve 1,200 crore kind of gains for this year? Or is there any difference?
No, we are absolutely working on recovery of the AIF assets. As is the case with wholesale assets and particularly the assets that we have in the AIF bucket, these are sort of lumpy repayments. Some of these assets actually need a fair degree of work on the counterparty or the assets, and therefore there might be some ups and downs as we go along, but we continue to stay put with our guidance where we said that we would collect about 1,200 crore of AIF gains this year. So we stick to that.
Understood. And so just last, if I may excuse, any timeline on the Shriram value realization in this year?
No, man, it's a big transaction. We will see. We will stay in the market. We will find whenever the timing is right in terms of getting the right counterparty, we'll do it. This is not something that we can disclose in a public forum about our timing.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you so much for answering my questions. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vinod Chen from WF Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening and congratulations for the good numbers. My first question is why dividend income in the first quarter is nil as against 76 crores in the previous year first quarter?
You know, see, in the last year, first quarter, we still had a sizable stake in Shriram group of companies. Dividend income to humko nahi milega. So that's what you're seeing. Because that stake is not there, the dividend income does not show up.
All right. The second question is about the gross non-performing assets and non-performing assets. The ratio has, of course, worsened over the quarter on quarter. But what is the view going forward?
Dekhi, to some extent, in Q1, you do see a little bit of worsening on some of these ratios. It's a very minor take. It's nothing significant that has happened. We have not seen any material worsening of any account on our portfolio, neither in retail nor in wholesale. The environment has remained very stable. You've seen all our risk numbers that we have disclosed in our presentation. You will see that, from a fundamental standpoint, fundamentals continue to be sound. We have not seen any material deterioration. Let's see. The environment is shifting. You have seen what's happening in the market in terms of credit costs, etc., of all NBFCs and banks in this quarter be under a little bit of pressure. We are watching the environment. Our numbers have held up very well in Q1, but we don't want to jinx it by speaking too soon about the future. Let's see how it goes. So far, so good.
Similarly, the NIM has also gone down quarter on quarter marginally.
Yeah.
What is the view again here on the going forward?
देखिए NIM में थोड़ा प्रेशर अभी रहेगा because our cost of borrowing is continuing to rise because all the banks are still increasing pricing, so थोड़ा borrowing पे प्रेशर है. So cost of borrowing, you can see, pichle do quarter se it is at 8.9%, and if anything, there is slight upward bias to that number. Our book is now getting more and more levered, right? So as the leverage increases, anyway, cost of funds bhi aapka change hoga. So dono reasons se thoda sa NIM pe pressure rahega in the for another quarter or two.
But if you look at the medium term to medium to long term, you still maintain your FY28 projection.
Yeah, or more. Like in the medium to long term, our NIM should be higher than what we were able to show there, both by higher yields and importantly by lower cost of borrowing over time. So it will happen. Short term is going to go in the other way.
I see. Very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vinodji.
Next follow-up question is from line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
I have a follow-up question on the business loan segment. So of all the 4,700 crores of that segment, is there a breakup between how much is microfinance and business loans? Because I'm assuming merchant BNPL would still be a smaller part of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, microfinance is a very small business for us. The business loans mein microfinance add kar diya hai kya? Isme? Ha, add karke dala. So, theek hai. So, see, the microfinance portfolio is about 1,400 crores, something like that, total. The rest of it is business loans to MSMEs.
Okay. So, the bigger stress that we're seeing for the past continuous quarter actually comes from the pure business loan and not so much from MFI or anything, right?
MFI also has seen pressure.
Yeah.
In fact, in relative terms, MFI has seen more pressure than business loans has. However, MFI is a smaller part of the book, so it doesn't actually impact our numbers as much. It's mostly the core business loans that have seen. Having said that, like I will reiterate that the business loans are being done at almost 20% yield. So the kind of delinquency numbers that you're seeing on that page, they are more than priced into the product.
Got it. Okay, this is useful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Kishan Rungta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just referring to the slide 16, overall asset, retail assets were 90 plus DPD is quite stable. But if I just look at business loan and the other unsecured loans, the 90 plus delinquency has seen a bit upward trend. So how do we look at it and how do we see the unsecured segment going forward?
Yeah. See, that it's you've seen this across the industry. It's an important area to keep watching. Of course, these businesses have been at extraordinarily low delinquency rates for a long time. In business loans, for example, you're seeing 140 basis points of 90 DPD. As I mentioned to the previous caller, this is a business being done at 20% yield. You should be expecting a much higher delinquency rate than what we are seeing right now. We are seeing in the market a little bit of reversion to the mean of the long-term mean. The market has been at below mean for very long, and we are seeing a slow reversion to that mean. We are seeing a little bit of that in our portfolio as well. However, we have been able to sort of, being a multi-product business has given us the opportunity to increase some other part of the business at a time when this part of the business starts facing some pressure. So you've seen us actually gravitate more towards housing and LAP in the last quarter, and that has helped keep the overall delinquency rates in check, as you rightly mentioned. So as a multi-product platform, that's always the game we're going to be playing, which is we will keep calibrating different businesses up or down based on where the risk levels are. As you can see here in the digital loans, for example, on page 16, digital loans were up 4 quarters ago. We noticed 5 quarters ago that, hey, this is not looking that great. We started reducing the volume. We reduced the volume by roughly half over the course of the last 4 quarters. And hence, we have not seen the impact of that high delinquency on our portfolio level delinquencies, which have remained steady. That's the kind of game you need to keep playing depending on which part of the market's going up and which is going down. So it's a very, very dynamic situation. We will not hesitate to calibrate businesses up or down based on market reality.
Good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Sameer Bise from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sameer.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question on the stage three changes in absolute terms. So while retail stage 3 has changed by, say, 100 plus crore, few crores here and there. The balance is coming from legacy or wholesale 2.0?
No, all from legacy. There is no stage 3 in wholesale 2.0. There's no stage 2 either in wholesale 2.0.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Sameer.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arpan Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My first question is a repetition of the question that I had asked during AGM. Sorry for repeating it, but I'd like to know management's thought on this question. So for context, I have numbers for FY23-24. So retail AUM grew by 50% during that period. The share of unsecured disbursement during that period was 40% of total retail disbursement. And our potential customers, the Bharat customers, may not have complete documentation. So essentially, they are lending at a fast pace with a significant proportion of it not secured by collateral, and our potential customers may not have complete documentation. So given this, how do we maintain the quality of our retail loan book?
Yeah, Arpan, it's a good perceptive question. First off, I'd say keep looking at our numbers. Keep us honest by tracking our delinquency performance. We are one of the few large NBFCs that show product level delinquency numbers, right? Not everybody does it, and the reason we do that is so that investors like you can keep us honest on whether we are doing a decent job in managing that risk. We believe that by building the right kind of models, analytic models, by having the right underwriting policy and frameworks in place, and by being very agile about which segments we dial up and dial down, we can manage the portfolio well. But it's a daily battle. This is not a big strategy thing that we can decide, and based on that, we will just automatically have better quality portfolio. We make decisions every day. Last quarter, to give you an example, in the quarter that just passed, we made about 100 policy changes in the course of one quarter. So we practically make a small policy tweak every day. So we make tens of these things all the time. And it's through the accumulated effect of all of that and the discipline of constantly looking at the product level risk and vintage level risk that we believe we'll be able to manage the overall risk well. We've been able to do that well so far over the last few years. Let's hope that continues.
Thank you. I have a follow-up question. So this, how do I interpret this 90 plus DPD ratio? So I understand the numerator, it is the loans which are past due between 90 and 179 days. But what is the denominator of this ratio?
0 to 179 days. Everybody from 0 to 179 days. That's the denominator.
Oh, got it.
90 to 179 divided by 0 to 179.
Okay, makes sense. I have one question on slide number 37. So it has a column of share in disbursements, which totals to 94.9%. So I want to know what accounts for the remaining 5.1% of disbursement.
We do some small direct assignment type transactions inwards, which will show up there as well. And isme koi loan against shares wagera nahi hoga na isme. Loan against shares, loan against securities, the loan against mutual funds, a small product which are still in infancy, which we don't show here.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much. I have one small request. I'm not sure if it's feasible or not, but if we can keep some time gap between the like the when the at the time at which the presentation is uploaded and the investor call, I think that will be very helpful to digest the presentation and ask questions.
We would like to do it too, and we know it's the right thing to do from an investor perspective. Unfortunately, days like today when there are multiple results, it's hard to find the right time slot. So logistically, it becomes kind of hard. But I take your point that we should give investors time to digest the results before holding the call. We will do our best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, Arman.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Sachin Motwani from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Hi, Sachin. Yes.
Sachin, sorry, you're not audible.
Okay. Hi, can you hear me?
So can you speak through the handset if you don't mind?
Just. Hi, is it better now?
Much better. Much better. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wanted to check, you know, the reduction in land and receivables from by 250 crores on a QOQ basis. What led to this reduction? Was it some write-off or anything?
Yeah, it was write-off of one land asset.
Sorry? Oh, write-off of one land asset.
So this is a, you might recall that last quarter we had made a significant provision and we had set some money aside for a deal that we told you was in the offing. But the deal was happening at a rate which was lower than the rate at which the asset was held on our balance sheet. So we made the provision last quarter, the deal consummated during the course of the quarter, and we ended up using that provision and writing the asset down.
Got it. And my second question is, what's the outlook on the SR book now? You know, we've reduced it down by 300 crores in Q1. So how do you see a rundown of this SR book happening over the next 1-2 years?
So look, on the SR book, on the wholesale side, we continue to engage with the ARCs where we own the SRs, the underlying trusts. We can, through them, we continue to engage with the counterparties to actually find solutions and resolutions of the underlying loans. As you know, these are non-performing assets. So clearly, there have been issues historically in terms of the performance. We have to work on a number of parameters, which will continue to go on right now. Our intention is that in the next 2-3 quarters' time, we recover material part of these SRs. However, given the nature and the complexities involved, they're not able to really give a concrete guidance on how this book will travel.
Yeah, if I may add just a quick sort of summary note on what you have said, the way you should think about this is that the directionality of the SR portfolio will be downwards. It will reduce. However, we cannot guide on specific pace at which it will come down. It's very deal specific.
Understood. And as of date, how much is it marked down by?
If you take the markdown from original book value at which it was carried, from there it is 60%+. A 100 rupee asset got sold at 40 rupees, and of that 40 rupees, we took 15% as cash and showed as cash, and only the remaining 85% is shown as SR value here. So it's well marked down in that sense. But it's still, you know, these are big bulky assets. We'll see how it goes. It's very well marked down though.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Singh for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks everyone. Please reach out to me and investor relations team if you have any further questions. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Piramal Enterprises Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.